Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
It's time for your local Ford dealers pregame show. And now, here are your hosts, Chicago football legend Olin Krutz, long-snapping Iron Man Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score, always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, yes, indeed. Welcome in. Welcome to your local Ford dealers pregame show. We've got the great Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley. And I am your lowly host, Mully, from the morning show. And gentlemen, finally, searching for a win. Maybe this is the day. Maybe the search is over. The Cowboys coming in later this afternoon to Soldier Field. Matt Eberflus with them. Oh, goodness gracious, what will happen there? And what do you say, Pat? The Bears desperate for a win. Desperate for a win.
Yeah, Mully, Olin, they sure are, man. It's been a long week, and it's been a long, I guess a whole 3 weeks now from the beginning of the season because it's been so disappointing. And there is an opportunity today, but I think it's going to be on the offense and Caleb. But I am excited to see what they can do. There are some issues with this Dallas Cowboys defense, just like we have issues in Chicago. But there is an opportunity to get things right on the lakefront today, and I think we've heard a little bit of a fired up Hallis Hall this week. They're kind of sick of being 0-2 and sick of hearing us being negative. Well, here's an opportunity to spin this to the positive. So I'm looking forward to seeing what product they put out there today. I know there's a lot of injuries, but let's see if there's some improvement, guys.
Yeah, and Pat and Mully, definitely a better matchup for the Chicago Bears than you saw on film going into Detroit last week versus the Lions and just man for man. And roster for roster and coach for coach. And when you looked at that film and that staff and what the Lions have been able to do, and you knew there Dan Campbell was, 10-0, I think, after a loss. Now he's 11-0. And you just knew Pat and Mully going into that game, it was going to be a tough game for the Chicago Bears. But here we go. It's week to week in the NFL, and the Dallas Cowboys come to town. I turned the film on, Pat, and I don't know about you, and I said, here's a chance. Mm-hmm. Here's a chance to get a win here. Here's a chance, I think, for our offensive and defensive line to take control of a football game and get the Chicago Bears moving in the right direction, because nothing cures and nothing heals like a win, right? You have to win football games. And like you talked about, Pat, a lot of talk up there at Hallis Hall this week on like details. And, whew, man, we've heard this before, we thought, right? Even with the Eberflus coming back to town, I was like, man, this is the ghost of Eberflus, and we know he'll coach defense today. Probably right after he gets his hair cut outside at Soldier Field, he'll be right in. You just got to give him a second. You got to give him a second to cut his hair first. But I'm with you, Pat and Mully. I think a chance here for the Chicago Bears to get a win and get this thing moving in the right direction and feel good about themselves.
So, obviously, the big story of the week, and it made national news, was the coach coming out and saying that they're not practicing at a championship caliber. And, that doesn't surprise anybody who's watched everything that's happened up to this point. But it was very interesting because in talking to various people about what the coach was saying exactly, because he had said previously that if people didn't, it would be reflected in play time, basically. If you weren't practicing hard, if he didn't think you were really doing all the important things, then you weren't going to play. And we know his motto of, if you don't block, you don't get the rock, where it goes on offense. Can you change the culture of a team with one comment, with one shot across the bow. And apparently he already said it to the team before he said it publicly.
Olin, if you don't mind, I'll take this real quick, because I was thinking about Lovie Smith in his first year, and I think I just saw you shaking your head there, that he had to change the culture, right? And there were a lot of things when he came in. We were kind of in the middle of our career, but there were some veterans that we added that were like, what the heck is going on? What is this? Everybody has to run to the ball. The O-line has to run to the ball. But he was doing everything to change the culture, and we bought in. It took a little time, and I think that's what he's trying to do. And I love to hear – well, I said it this week that I have no problem if the coach is communicating to his team through the media. But as long as you are telling your team first, that's the most important thing. I didn't add that to it this week on the score. But knowing that he's doing that, I have no problem with him, you know, saying, hey, we've had bad practices. We're not practicing up to the championship level. But it takes time to change the culture. And you have to have the buy-in. You have to sell it to your players. You have to prove it with production. You have to prove it with good play calls. You have to prove it with, you know, just smart coaches and putting you in the right situation to win and be a better player. But I like what he's doing, and I think it's just taking a little time. I think offseason now is a little different for teams. You don't have two-a-days, Olin, like we did with pads twice a day, and you don't have as much time to instill your culture as far as physicality and all that kind of stuff, so it takes a little more time.
Yeah, it's a great point by you. And players and coaches create culture, right, together. And I always get a little worried when – week three, you're talking about we don't practice well, right? That means, what I mean by that is this. If you want a team where a guy trains all the time, he lifts weights, he watches film, you better draft that guy, right? You draft culture, right? You draft guys who their coach tells you, man, when we walk through, he's at full speed. When we walk through, he's paying attention to details. You draft those guys, and that's what I keep talking about. When you have guys who are like, we bring them in from Atlanta, we bring them in from Kansas City, we go try to trade and trade for culture and make them the team captain. That's where I got a problem. Where's your young guys, right? Where's your guys coming up through the ranks to lead your locker room, to lead the Chicago Bears? So who do you prop up, right, Pat? You remember our first year, there was a little confusion because there's a few guys that the locker room didn't think were leaders that were getting propped up as leaders. Right, so I think they're working their way through all of that. Who are the guys here? Who are the guys who we're going to prop up for the Chicago Bears and say, look, this is who we want to be for the next 10 years. This is the kind of guy that we want on our team to lead us. We don't want guys tweeting out about the defensive coordinator. We don't want guys who are not paying attention in walkthrough. We want guys, because like you know, Pat, you're not going to have 53 guys who practice well. You're not going to have 53 guys who pay attention in walkthrough. And you're not going to have 53 guys who train all the time. Mully. We talk about benching guys. This is the NFL, man.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of talent out there. You're going to bench guys and put a third-string wide receiver in, you're going to get killed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is my understanding that what he meant was a general overview of the whole team. He wasn't singling out a specific player. Now, it certainly felt like he was kind of singling out specific players, and I think that when we watch this game – and we see someone whose playing time is altered, we're going to conclude, well, that was the guy. There was the problem. we're not going to say, oh, they're playing a different team and they're attacking in a different way. We're going to just literally be like, point the finger at that guy because
I know where you're going, this Marley, and I'll say this, and I know how Pat felt about it, but when Lovie would come in, or Dick Geron, or Dave Wansett, or Sean Payton, all right, whatever, Jim Lambright at Washington, or Cal Lee in Hawaii when I played for the St. Louis Crusaders. When they would talk, Pat, and say something about the team, I always thought they were talking about me.
Yes.
I always took it like they were talking about me. Like whenever they said something in the room, it pissed me off. Right? I'd be like, well, this guy's talking about me. I got to go work out. I got to go watch film. I remember Harry Heastand, like, Olin, he's not talking about you. You know, I'd walk out of the room and just be pissed off. And the whole team should feel like the coach is talking about them.
Olin, that's a great point because I think – a real competitor, somebody who's striving to be the best, they do feel that way, right? Because you're always trying to be on top. You're always questioning yourself. Am I doing the right thing? Am I doing enough? And you're trying to, but there's always a little bit of room, right? So you do listen to that. Of course I listen to that as well. You're like, wait a minute, did I skip a workout or did I not finish up, you know, Rusty Jones's workout sheet? Did I not watch
We were like, he caught me. He saw me doing nothing.
I thought it was just a video on practice.
T-Med must have told on me.
Yeah. I'm like, Rusty, I thought you said it was okay to leave a little early.
I thought I could go home. I mean, I just drank on Thursday night, not every night. You know what I mean?
That's like me driving. I see a cop, and I'm like, oh, my God. Like, did I put drugs in the car? Is there a body in my trunk? Like, you just feel guilty for no reason.
It is, and it's just interesting, like, because of we know how the team feels when they react like Grady Jarrett reacted, mm-hmm. right? Like, wow, everyone's, like, going crazy. But it's just, like, for us, it's turned into, like, a continuation of the things you heard last year.
Right.
And you got a little, like, oh, man, I hope we're not going through this again. Right, Pat?
Yeah. And I did like Grady's comments, but I know he's new to Chicago. He was talking about, you know, the haters, talking about us as media. And again, you're talking about me. I thought he was talking to me.
Right. And he
I was
is.
Like, how did he listen
is.
To our show?
And I got no problem. I got no problem if he talks about me, right? You're right. We were hating after that game, you guys.
Yes.
Right? Like, you're going through that. And look, whatever, you got to circle the wagons and get things moving in the right direction and prove us wrong. We all use that as players. And I don't expect... when you come on these shows, not to offend them. I expect to offend them after a game like they play.
Yeah, and well, all I feel like, Olin, when I do this, is that I'm saying the same thing a coach would tell them, right, in the meeting. You're just being honest. Mm-hmm. I'm not calling out their character or anything like that. I'm just saying what I saw on tape, whether mm-hmm. it's effort, whether it's execution, penalties, whatever. And if they want to use that, that's fine. Yeah, I thought about it all the time. We listened to Doug and OB. That was more entertainment. Mm-hmm. Right. But even Mully, when you were writing, Biggs was writing, anybody, we would read all that stuff. Olin, you talked about it last week that you would bring it up and stretch lines if anybody said anything kind of out of line. But, yeah, you use it, and it's okay to use it as fuel. Hallisall against the outside world.
My second year, Pat, you remember I tore both my MCLs, right? And I was out. Mm-hmm. And Casey Wigman got signed by the Kansas City Chiefs. And I remember clear as day Tom Thayer saying the Bears shouldn't have let him go because I was injury prone. And that pissed me off, man. And Tom, I've talked to Tom about this, but I tell you what, that pissed me off, and I was pissed off about it, but he was right until I proved him wrong.
Yes.
Until I proved him wrong, until I went 9 years without missing a game, he was right. I did miss like 9 games that year. I did get hurt. I did tear my MCLs. I wasn't on the field. Casey Wigman ended up being a really good center. The Bears took a chance on me. And eventually I had to prove him wrong, but that did pissed me off when he said he's injury prone and he should let Casey Wigman go, but there's truth in it.
So how much did you use that as fuel? Was it always sitting there in the back of your head?
Well, as you know, Pat, I had a lot of fuel.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I have a lot of fuel. Yeah.
You're like a 40-gallon truck. You're like a 40-gallon truck, and I wonder how many gallons of that.
I got a lot of energy for fights even nowadays. So, yes. But, yeah, I it gave me fuel. And, look, you remember a lot of things. I talk a lot about Molly's partner, David Hall, who's become a great colleague of mine. When he wrote that it was time for me to move on. It was time for Olin Cruz, and I got to know Olin, and he wrote about a back injury I didn't have. But you read that stuff, right? I never forget walking into Starbucks on Waukegan Road, flipping the Sun Times over, and out. It was just my huge picture on the front page that it was time to get rid of me, right? And I worked my butt off to help us, Pat, and all of us did, to get back to that NFC Championship game the last year that I was here. So, yeah, there's stuff you hear and there's stuff that pisses you off. But to Tom Thayer's point, when David Hall wrote that, I was getting older. My game was slipping a little bit. There was some truth in what they're writing and saying.
Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, and I mean this sincerely. So supposedly Biggsy told us there are all sorts of statistics out there. If you need any stat, you can find it. And there are, like, you know, a bunch of different sites where, like for instance, Tyreek Stevenson, his quarterback rating against, depending on where you look, it's always in the 150s, but I think it was PFF this year, or this week, had it at 158.3, which is a perfect passer rating against. So if you're a quarterback and you come in, you are going to pass toward that guy. Well, let's say they want to replace him. With who? Like, how do you do that with Jalen Johnson out and Kyler Gordon out and Kevin Smith already out for the year? I just don't know how you replace some people. So the reality is you may end up playing people, hopefully in a different fashion, but you may end up playing them, and it doesn't mean that you're happy with their play. It means that your depth is so challenged. You had a fifth-round pick that's out for the year, never played a down. How do you weigh that with what Biggsy told us, for instance, and I'm not saying he's playing great, Braxton Jones, and again, depending on where you look, supposedly 77% of the pressure that's on the quarterback comes from him. Mm-hmm. And Biggsy told us earlier in the week that they're working Theo Benedet in and that he may get more time at left tackle, which would make sense if you're got a bye week fairly early. You're going to go four games, have a bye week. Maybe that's where you make these positional changes. But how do you deal with the blame game? And that is the only problem with the coach talking to his team through the media.
Olin, I see it as this defensively. You know, you have what you have, Mully. You hinted that, you know, you don't just throw in backups to throw in backups. Well, you know, now you are on to backups because of injuries. Well, I put this on the coaches now. They've got to come up with a game plan to help the players. You know, it goes two ways. The player has to step up, but also the coach has to as well. So we will see what Dennis Allen does defensively without three of his best players. He's been without Kyler Gordon, but you're again without T.J. Edwards and obviously Jalen Johnson gone for the year. He has to change a little bit. He has to make the players better. And I think as a player, you look as a coach and say, hey, I need some help. You want a little bit of help, but you also have to look inward and say, what can I do better? Know your strengths and work on that. As far as left tackle with Charles Leno, you know, he's been subpar. How much is it the injury? How much is what it is? I don't know. Is Theo Benedet better? I have no problem with putting him in there and maybe rotating him a little bit. You got an 0-2 start. Both of those players you talked about statistically, they are what they are, but you can put on the tape, right? Olin, you talked about the tape. They're struggling, but they've gone against great players. But you got to go against great players every week.
Right.
I mean, that's part of it as well. This today with CeeDee Lamb and Carl Pickens and Tyreek Stevenson, that matchup, that's a tough one, man. That's a really tough one. I think today for whoever the left tackle is for the Bears, a little bit better from what they faced the last 2 weeks. They have a better advantage, but it's on the coaches and the players. Coaches got to pick it up, and players got to pick it up as well.
Yeah, listen, when you hear that stuff again, it was the details, right, Molly? We went over that in our first segment. Now, in this one, we're talking about Braxton Jones and Tyreek Stevenson, and again, I'm getting whiplash, right? I get a little deja vu.
Yes.
Right? So I get a little bit okay. Like, last year it was Chris Morgan and John Hoke.
Yes.
They got to do a better job, right? Chris Morgan was the O-line coach last year for Chicago Bears, and John Hoke was a defensive backs coach. Now we got Dan Rochard and Al Harris. But we're talking about the same players, the same guys playing, right? And then obviously in the secondary, there are a lot of injuries, right? And when you lose your best cornerback, who may be your best player on your football team, that's going to hurt, man. Lose your nickelback, that's going to hurt. But again, Tyreek Stevenson struggling the first two games, probably struggled today. Pat talked about his matchup, right? And the matchup for the offensive line with Parsons in Green Bay is a little better today for everybody. And being at home obviously helps you, and it helps the matchups always. Styles always make fights. But who is he, the coach, talking about? Who's he challenging? The whole building, the whole team. I'm sure he's challenging his coaching staff, right? Get these guys moving in the right direction. Let's get going, man. Like we got to get these guys play better. But, Pat, I always say this, man. To whom much is given, much is expected.
Yes.
And if anything in Chicago, we're running on a hamster wheel, right? It's like
that
every year is the same problem, and then everyone screams about the lowest paid offensive lineman.
Right.
Like, we got to replace that guy. No, I got you. I'd like to, but we also have all these first round picks. We also have all this money and everybody else. Where are they? What are they doing to raise the level of their teammates and make them better? Look, guys, go on ChatGPT. I do it. Just Google. How many left tackles has Patrick Mahomes had? And look at all the names. Yep. He's had like 12 of them. Right? He has 12. They go through all. But guys, like, yes, Braxton Jones got to play better. The left tackle position got to play better for Chicago Bears. I know that. What about the other guys? Where's the all pros? Where's the pro bowlers? Let's stop talking. Like, okay, Tyreek Stevenson, you got to play better. But Montez Sweat, bro, you got $100 million. You got to get home.
Yep.
Well, Grady Jarrett, who's mad at us for some reason. Get home. Get there faster, man. Let's go. Tremaine Edmonds, let's go. Brisker, let's go, man. Let's go make plays. Let's go out there and make football plays and raise the level of our teammates. Pat, I never missed a block and said, man, Josh Beekman got to play better.
Right.
Right? I knew what they were paying me. I knew what they were paying me, right? I, if we had to run the ball, I never said, hey, man, Steve Edwards got to get his pads lower. Right? Like, no, I got to go in there. We go to New England. And Harry Heisen say, Olin, you're going one-on-one with Vince Wilfork the whole game. Bet.
Yep.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go then. Well, I know why.
And that's actually not a bad exercise to do is to – and you can get that. There are many different websites where you can get it. Just look at the payroll and look at how much a guy is getting paid before you're like, well, we got to replace. Well, no kidding.
If a guy
wasn't taken high in the draft and has broken his rear end to get into a position to be a starting player in the NFL, it doesn't mean that they gave him the money because he's a starter. You got to look at the payroll to understand where all the contribution should come from. And I think it's fairly obvious that when you do that, then you get a much better sense of not only have they not drafted well, but they also haven't necessarily brought in the right free agents from what we've seen thus far in this administration.
Yeah, Mully, I spent a lot of time on the sideline, right, watching the game.
Yes.
And Olin, what you're describing to me is when you get paid like you get paid, you're a player and a half. You know what I mean? You're not just an NFL player, you're a player plus some. You can do more than what you your fellow NFL, just regular guy that's getting paid is. So what I'm saying is when I was on the sideline and we were kind of losing or we'd be down or expecting something, I knew that Urlacher would make a play. I knew that Peanut would make a play. I knew that Lance Briggs would make a play. I knew that Olin could make a block on 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1 and get a first down. So you knew as a player, you looked at those guys that were getting paid and you expected greatness. You expected big plays. And right now the guys that are getting paid for the player and a half money, they're not making those plays. They're not stepping up and doing that in the big situations. And that's what needs to happen. To me, a winning team, the great players bring that – the paid players who are supposed to be great players make that team better, and they haven't done that yet.
Yeah, all right. And we know this will take a while, right? I mean, we know that.
Oh, yeah.
We know – we watched them last year. We saw all the problems they had. Fired defensive coordinator, fired a head coach. We heard all the players talking all year. Like, we know – this take a while. You talk about details, Pat and Mully. You talk about the quarterback sneaks. I saw a lot of detail problems on those plays. I saw the right side of the line bow 2 yards off the ball on a quarterback sneak. It's not good. Yeah. It's not good to do that.
All right. We'll get to all of that. We're going to be right back. I want to ask you guys, and I don't know the answer. Hopefully you will tell me. Can the Bears win a shootout? Does this have to be a shootout? Should we pray for rain? There's a slight chance of rain. Do we want to slow this thing down a little? We'll talk about a couple of defenses that aren't very good, and what does that mean in terms of how you win this game? We'll do that next. You are listening to your local Ford Dealers pregame show. We got Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley on the Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I think our practice habits are yet to reflect the championship caliber.
We're back with more of your local Ford Dealers football pregame show on Chicago's Sports Radio, 670 The Score, and live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, yes, indeed. We are back. Your local Ford Dealers pregame show with Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley, and I am Mully from The Morning Show. And, gentlemen, I guess as we look at this game and we look at the difficulty of the two defenses, the question then becomes, you know, Dak Prescott playing very well, put up a lot of points. That game was on when we were at Flagship on the Fox last week. We were doing the post game, and then we watched that game finish up, and they won in a track meet, and Dak Prescott is playing good football. And as we mentioned, they've got some really good receivers, but their defense is really struggling. They've got their share of injuries, and so the question is if the Bears haven't really been able to stop anyone yet from the fourth quarter on, you got to wonder how they're going to win this game. How do they? What is the path to victory if not in a track meet? And winning in a track meet is not something we have watched happen around here very often. Certainly not. I mean, I understand that's the plan when you hire an offensive head coach like Ben Johnson, but it has not been a regular occurrence.
Yeah, I'd like to see both lines, the line of scrimmage, Pat. I'd like to see that get ramped up today. I think when I watch this film, I think the Bears have a little bit of an advantage there. And I saw, you know, even though you don't have the results, the offensive line is coming together a little bit more now. Jonah Jackson still got to settle down at that right guard position. But with Dolman, there were that, you know, like that 20-yard run in the first quarter last week by Swift. That's a beautifully blocked outside zone play by Chicago Bears, man. That's big time. Joe Tooney, I mean, I knew he was technical. I knew he was good, Pat. I didn't know how good he was at all that. Like, his film is impressive to watch him, his footwork, his hand placement, where he fits himself in schemes. He's a good football player. Darnell Wright doing a nice job. I thought Cole Kmet started off well. And then on the other side, hopefully Grady's knee's okay. Javon Dexter worries me a little bit. I wonder if we see more Andrew Billings today. I wonder if that's one of the guys that Coach Johnson's talking about. I would start Andrew Billings at nose guard. I'd move Jonathan Ford up, play him at nose guard, and kick Javon Dexter over to back up Grady Jarrett, three technique. That's what I would do with the D-line, but I'm not the coach there. But Montez Sweat, you know, good matchup today. So Mully, I just think with the crowd noise, you probably got to score a lot of points, but I don't think they've scored a ton of points. I just think they got to win on the line of scrimmage, and I think they have a little bit of an advantage today.
Yeah, and I'm going to go the other way, Olin, with Caleb Williams, man. This is start 20. I said it this week on the score. This is start 20. It's time for him to take ownership of this team. I'm sick of talking about his improvements. I'm sick of talking about his pocket presence. I'm sick of talking about his accuracy. I want to talk about his wins. I want to win a game because of him. We watched Dallas the last 2 weeks. They played okay against Philly, but last week against the Giants, they looked horrible. They looked like the Spider-Man meme in the defensive backfield. They're pointing around, not knowing, you know, who's doing the right thing, whose play it is. So if they continue doing that, there are big opportunities for Caleb Williams. And Olin, you talked about the front line for the Bears. They should be able to protect him, right? I think
Dallas
only has four sacks.
Braxton.
Oh, that's right. We can chip. We can chip and help.
With Braxton, he
just can't. We'll just chip and help. It'll all be good.
He can't, Pat. Braxton. Anyway, sorry.
It's true. But no, it's on Caleb, man. It's time for him to step up. I want to get done and do the post game with you guys and be like, man, we won the game because of Caleb.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I want to see that.
I'm
going to give my guy Zach Zabin a shout-out. He just tweeted today. He said, a football thought. The best Bears quarterback performance during his time on the sidelines was against the Cowboys in 2013. So my question is, can Caleb top this today against that defense? I think is ranked 30th or whatever.
I thought he was just talking about
McCown.
Craig Krenzel. I thought he was talking about
Josh
Craig
McCown.
Krenzel down there
this
in 2009.
This is Josh McCown. Yeah, how about that game? Josh McCown in 2013 threw for 348 yards and had four TDs, and he ran for another one with 141.9 passer rating. The Bears won 45-28.
And I think he made the whole team better men.
Yes, he did. Oh,
that hair, that's better.
Yeah, well, he's up there in Minnesota now with that hair. But still, can Caleb have a game like that? I want to see that and win a game with 45 points. That's what I want to see. And I thought it was interesting that Zach just tweeted that. But it's time for Caleb to do that. You're the number one overall pick. You were picked for a reason. You were picked to win games. Again, it's start number 20. Let's win the games because of you.
I thought it was very interesting, and I don't know how closely you guys watch these news conferences, but when Ben Johnson got up there and did his, you know, we're not practicing at a championship level. Caleb had to follow him to the podium. And, of course, he was asked about that. And maybe I'm listening for things that aren't there, but I felt like he clarified that it wasn't about him, that his conversation with the coach was about how he can motivate other people and what can he do to get other players going you know what I mean? I didn't get the sense that he felt the way you guys felt when someone at the podium called out the team. I got the sense that he was, he had improved from one week to the next. He wasn't the major problem, and he had to be able to basically motivate within the huddle and talk to people if something's going wrong, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point by you, Mullen. And I said on Spiegel's In Home show, it was like the janitor walked outside and started screaming, "The building's dirty," you know? I thought that was your guys' responsibility in there. But anyway, you know, that's what you're waiting for, Pat, right? And look, man, we understand. I said this 100 times even on Friday. We know it's only week three in his first year. Like, we know that. We know how much had to change. But it's just that, like you're saying, Molly, no one comes to the podium and tells us what they need to do. Mm-hmm. What do you need to do, Coach Johnson? What do you need to do, Caleb? What do you and maybe I got to listen to their press conference a little better, Pat, and maybe they have said a few things. But it's just kind of like we got to, you know, okay, cool. How about you? Mm-hmm. What do you need to do better? And Coach did, I think after the second loss, he said, man, I got to get better play calling. Yes. I got to get better, you know, all kinds of things. But it's kind of deja vu right now, and you just want to see them go out and do it. And just one time maybe – do it. Challenge the team. You don't need to tell us, right? Don't need to tell us. And then when it gets fixed, tell us. But we've been working on that, man. We've been challenging the team to do better at that.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Molly. I was just going to ask, do they need 30 points to win this game? I mean, you look at them and you look at the Cowboys and the way the Cowboys have scored. And the Cowboys, that defense is kind of a sieve, with all due respect to Flusi. And I know – you know, he's coming back. You know, people want to know, should you boo him? Should you not boo him? You know, I think you guys talked about a week ago before the game that if you boo Ben Johnson, it's a sign of respect because you're mad that he left and he betrayed you and you're upset about it. And that was clearly a theme that Dan Campbell sold his team on, because they put up 52 points and it was just a disaster. But I wonder if you ever go into a game thinking, hey, you know, this is a game where we have to score X number of points to win.
I say yes. And, Olin, what you mentioned earlier about the D-line, if they play well, then maybe not. I'm just not certain about them. They haven't proved it to me yet. Mm-hmm. But you watch Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb and Carl Pickens and Ferguson, their tight end, and Walker and Sanders. They're damn good. They're efficient. Mm-hmm. Dak Prescott is playing at a very high level. He played at a high level against the Eagles. I mean, there was a chance they could have beat the Eagles in week one. He obviously played well against the Giants last week. But Dak Prescott, watching him work the field and read the defense, is kind of what you want to see out of Caleb, or is what you want to see out of Caleb Williams. I think he's playing at a high level. I think they're a points machine with the talent they have. Right. So I do think you have to outscore them, especially with these two defenses. When you just look at the stats of these two defenses, that's what it says. It's going to be a shootout. Mm-hmm. I think the over-under is 50.5 points, and I would take the over on that.
Mm-hmm. They don't need 30. They probably need 29, though. His offense is something. Man. Speaking of film, I don't mean to get off track here. But
no, go ahead.
If you love football, anybody listening to our show, turn on the Giants field and watch the nose guard Dexter Lawrence play football.
Oh, man.
Dexter Lawrence is an absolute animal. And the Cowboys are without their center today, right? And that's going to hurt their offensive line. He does a lot up front there. But to your point, Pat, I mean, the 7-on-7 team the Dallas Cowboys have assembled there, right? Yes. With Pickens and Lamb and Ferguson and Dak Prescott. I mean, when they lost to the Eagles, he fit two balls in right where they were supposed to be, and they just got dropped. And he is playing, and he is not afraid to fit into NFL windows. And it looks like you heard Coach Johnson talk about him controlling the game with his cadence, seeing, you know, to give him motions. He sees what defense you're in. So he's going to be an absolute challenge. And it's not like he's not an athlete. It's not like he can't get out of the pocket and run. So he'll be an absolute challenge for Coach Allen and his defense today. And the Chicago Bears are going to have to put the ball in the end zone. But I think we've seen a little bit of flashes of them moving in that direction. And sometimes, you know, matchups make you look a little better than you are. So the Chicago Bears today, I think, you know, especially on the offensive side of the ball, they can score points. And I think, Mully, to your point, they're going to have to outscore these Cowboys. And Pat, to your point, the Cowboys are going to put up more than 20 points today.
Yeah.
I just – two things come to mind. Let's start with the mastery of the cadence, the mastery of the position. It was interesting that Ben Johnson talked about Dak Prescott in that way, like, you know, admiringly salivating over his skills. And you can't help but wonder, is that a subtle or less than subtle message to his own quarterback? When he talks about a different quarterback, is he trying to send a message to Caleb as well? Because we've seen a lot of jumping off sides. We've seen a lot of false starts. Does that have something to do with cadence? Is this something they're concentrating on and then he brings it up? Or is it just it's something that Dak Prescott is so good at that it deserves its own little moment?
No, I think you would, you know, when Pat was a young long snapper, I was a young center, you point to older guys and you watch. Wow. Like, see how that guy is running that team. See how he's playing that position. Dak Prescott going to his 125th start today, Pat. That, you know, that's a lot of football, man. And he's in his 10th year. He's 32 years old. Caleb is learning the position. You can tell, you can see some of that in the way they organize it with the snap count, getting guys lined up, getting in and out of the huddle. We've had some delay of games. We have a lot of things that do sit in the quarterback in the play caller's lap, getting things organized. But Brian Schottenheimer, right, their head coach, he got elevated from offensive coordinator. So these guys have been together. And like I said, Dak, 125th start. Pat, remember when you're making your 125th start, you're on cruise control, man. Like you were like, you knew what you're about to see. You knew what had to be done. You knew how to use your cadence. And I think, you know, I don't know, I haven't heard him on TV yet, but I think Dak actually only has his own cadence too, doesn't he? Like he's changed the way they say said hut. So, yes, I think Mully, he is pointing to the guy. He probably points to Jared Goff. Look at the way he does it. Yes. Like, this is what we got to do. And that's the one thing interesting about Ben Johnson is when you look through his history, is okay, how many him and Declan Doyle, how many young quarterbacks have they developed? And it is something we're watching from the side.
Yeah, and Olin, I go back to you, and I, just like myself, I would watch other players that I wanted to be or I wanted to emulate or something they did well. How can I do that? I know you've talked about Tom Nalen in the outside zone. You watched him when you were younger to get better. I'm wondering how much Ben Johnson, you know, being around quarterbacks and helping them is saying, okay, watch some Dak Prescott tape. Here are some cut-ups. Here's what he does well. I think you can improve and do this. You know, maybe the guys that he respects, he's telling him to watch those clips or cut-ups or whatever. But, Olin, I know the great ones that I was around, like you didn't have to be told by a coach. You went and sought out that film on your own. You saw who was good at whatever, Tom Brady at whatever. You know, you would go find that film and watch them and say, hey, how are they doing this? How can I get better? So hopefully Ben Johnson's doing that. More so, hopefully Caleb's doing it on his own. But I think that's what Ben Johnson's trying to relay is like, look where Dak came from and look where he is now. Look how he processes the game and how good he is at it.
Yeah, and I think everything that has been said this week really isn't that big of a deal for a coach in his third week of the season. And a young quarterback who's in his second year, first year of the scheme, they've been struggling, right? And Caleb did look better last week, and he still got that amazing arm talent. But to your point, Mully, there is, and to Pat's point, this coach, it seems like Ben Johnson likes to challenge his team through the media, likes to send a little, you know, things out for his team that they have to work on. That he's going to tell the media, like, look, you guys aren't doing your details and stuff. And I told you guys that first, so now I'm going to tell everybody else.
Short shelf life on stuff like that. I mean, you can do that when you come in, but I don't know if you're going to be able to do that all year or in another year or whatever. All right, we got to take a quick time out. We'll be right back. Want to talk about Dennis Allen a little bit. A very interesting statistic out there about what Dennis Allen did against Dak Prescott when he was in New Orleans, and these things don't seem to apply when you change teams and you have injured players. But we'll mention that next. You're listening to your local Ford dealers pregame show here on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I know you were hoping to have Jalen Johnson back for longer than a quarter and a half, but losing him, how does that change even how you can call the defense moving forward?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, you know, we've been working without him for, you know, most of training camp. You know, we didn't have him in the first game. You know, obviously, you lose a player of that caliber, it's a big hindrance to your football team. So, you know, you got to readjust how you operate, calls you make, and each and every week's going to be different.
We're back with more of your local Ford Dealers football pregame show on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back. It's your local Ford Dealers pregame show with Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley and Mully here from the morning show. And guys, that is the voice of Dennis Allen. And the reality of life is that he is the defensive coordinator, so he speaks on a Thursday, as most coordinators do around the NFL, defensive guys. But when you allow 52 points in a game, maybe there's a few more questions than you want asked of you about, hey, how did that happen? And he's done this now twice. He's kind of, well, we're on to the next game. Like, kind of bristled a little. He's used to being a head coach, and you know, the Bears are moving on, and you can't really sit back and reflect. And yet, you know, you'd like to know, hey, you gave up 52 points. You're without your best corner. Your other corner you're counting on, and Kyler Gordon is also week to week, and he's not going to play in this game, and you're missing your linebacker. I just think it's legitimate topic of conversation. It's unfortunate that he doesn't talk till Thursday.
It is.
Yeah, but
it really is, man. And they're not playing good football, Pat, anywhere on that defense, right? T.J. Edwards has been out and injured also. Kyler Gordon and T.J. Edwards, you would think, is kind of a guy – gets everyone lined up and moving in the right direction, kind of the heartbeat of your defense, a culture guy that we talk about, right? Do things the right way. Contrary to the little things, understands how to win football games and how good football teams practice and how they play. You know, they're not setting edges against runs. They haven't stopped a run now in five straight quarters, if you count the fourth quarter, the Minnesota game. So it's not just the pass, and I'm sure that affects his play calling, Mully. But to your point, there are a lot of questions to answer from a defense who gave up half a hundred, right? There just is a lot of questions. And look, can bristle if you want, and they're getting mad at us. But to your point, Mully, they have injuries, and how do you plan on covering these wide receivers?
How do you not play zone against this team with the guys you've got? And you see guys running through the defense wide open to score touchdowns. How does that happen, Coach?
Yeah, you know, Kashawn Wright, and they just had, and Byard had a miscommunication there somehow, right? And they were running some kind of zone, and someone's got to carry that guy who's running straight down the middle of the field, right? Williams seems pretty important to me there at that moment. So when you watch, and then you got a guy on your team tweeting about you should use him differently. There just seems like a lot of questions that should be answered. And by the way, the guy who's tweeting that was out for half the year with a concussion, but he wants to be closer to the line of scrimmage. There's just a lot of things you're confused about when you hear it come out, and you should be. They're 0-2, and they just got beat pretty bad, and there's a lot of questions to answer.
Yeah, and is this the time where, as a coach, and I think as a player, you hated it because it was, it kind of speaks poorly about you as a player. Do you simplify things? Do you just simplify the calls? Do you just take that defense and dumb it down? And I think whenever I hear that or heard that, that means we're not playing well. We can't handle it as players. But is this something you have to do? Because you do have a lot of backups playing. Well, when you do that, and when I did hear that, that's when the other players, the star players, have to step up and make plays. They talked about Montez Sweat winning his one-on-ones. Recognize when you're going to have a one-on-one. Realize it, know it, make a play. You know, and he had that sack last week. We, you know, offsetting penalties negated that. But I want two. I want three. I want to be, you know, if you're getting paid like that, go out there and play there. Play that way. So as a defensive coordinator or as a just a coach in general, you have to think about dumbing it down. But as a player, I think that's an insult to you when you hear a coach having to do that because that means you can't handle stuff on your plate.
But if you can't get to the passer, right,
yeah,
and they're struggling with that, how can you run his defense? If you don't have a secondary, how can you play man up press so to help you be? I mean, don't you have to acknowledge that we're getting killed in the back here and we don't have the talent we thought we were going to have? And he can say all day that we didn't have Jalen Johnson. I'm sure all his plans included Jalen Johnson.
And Kyler Gordon.
Yes. Yeah.
Right,
yes.
I think that was the first name he mentioned when he got to town. So they aren't healthy, and that's tough, man, Pat. Like you said, it's easy in the NFL to say next man up, but you better be lucky when that next man comes up, and you better have hit on a late draft pick or a free agent who is just playing better football. And the thing about the defense, Molly, for the Bears is because the pass defense and the injuries – have been so bad, people forget that the teams that they played have averaged 5.4 yards a carry, right? And you're not really stopping anything,
yes,
to be honest, right? And when you turn the film on, Pat, and like I know you have and Mully, you have, you know, Grady Jarrett did get home a couple times last week and the ball still got completed, right? Montez Sweat does get home sometimes and the ball's still getting completed. So they need more consistent pressure. They need to stop the run. They need to play better pass defense. Guys, is there anything I missed?
They need to run the ball better too.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
All right. It's other than that, how was
takeaways?
Other than that, they're doing great.
Yeah.
You know? We need takeaways.
Penalties. I mean, like, I don't even know if we're getting into that. All right. There's so much to get to. We're going to get to more of it next. I got a great statistic here that I want to ask you about. You're listening to your local Ford dealers pregame show on the Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on the Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.